Hello everyone, and welcome back to The Board Gaming Doctor. My name is Phil, and I'll be your Board Game Doctor today. In this Rosen blog for April 2024, we will go over Hollertau and my review of it after 10 plays. For news, there hasn't been much announced. There has been one additional picture published officially for Black Forest, the new Rosenberg game slated for Essen Spiel 2024 later this year. And so we have another picture of that that more or less shows the same of what we saw before in prototype version. And so hopefully more details to come, but nothing at the moment. So let's get into the review. So Hollertau is Uwe Rosenberg's big box release back 4 years ago in 2020. And in this game, it is set in the largest hop producing region in the world, where players take on the role of village chiefs aiming to enhance their village's wealth and prestige. By supplying goods from agriculture and sheep breeding to local craftspeople, players strategically place workers and utilize card combos to maximize efficiency and prosperity. The game features progressive worker placement, a two-field rotation system, and strategic card play, challenging players to make optimal decisions to make their village shine. And that is a summary of the overview provided on BoardGameGeek. But now to highlight some of the mechanisms that makes this game shine, and perhaps unique from among other Rosenberg games or games in general. So first, let's talk about the cards. This game features 10 different decks that you draw from. Four of the farm, yard, and gateway decks are provided in the game. Each of these decks differ in complexity and the focus that they provide in the game based off of certain resource types and whatnot. And in addition to these eight decks, you have a bonus and a point deck. The bonus deck gives you opportunities to gain bonus scoring opportunities and resources and such. And the point deck kind of offers some endgame victory points opportunities for resource collection as well. You pick and choose which farmyard and gateway deck to use when you play the game. You randomize amongst the four of each type of deck and choose one. And that creates a variable experience, which again focuses on different aspects of the game. In addition, you get to play these cards virtually at any time, on your turn or even on other players' turns, potentially leading to cascading combos of resource conversion and point scoring. Second, the farming. There is a balance you create first by managing the two-field rotation type of crop, dynamic crop management and field planting. They move up and down according to whether they are planted or not during the round, offering different yields of crop as you plant them from round to round. Also, the sheep are handled in a unique way compared to other Rosenberg games. They're not necessarily breeding them, but you must continuously advance them up from round to round in the stable board and the spaces that they occupy, so they don't die of old age and get removed from your supply if you reach a round and you still have sheep on that particular round card that you draw from. The worker placement is next. So the worker placement board is handled as a quadrant system. You have four different areas where you can put cubes, and in each of these areas there are four different worker placement spots. And in each worker placement spot, you have places to play your worker placement cubes, which for everyone, they are the same color. And you start from the bottom to the top, and they have spaces for one to two and then three workers. So all of that to say is that you play a worker to a spot that has not been occupied by anyone. You play it with one worker, take that action, great. The next player who wants to take that spot needs to play two workers in order to perform that same action. From round to round, the board is wiped of these cubes that are played, whether they are the top row for lesser player counts or an entire quadrant for higher player counts. And so you can see that soon the board gets pretty tight and more workers are needed to typically perform actions that are either very popular or desired based off of your strategy. And then finally, the resource conversion aspect of this game. The crux of this game is moving your community center across the point scoring board by creating space with the craft buildings. At the end of each round, you turn in goods to move each of these buildings over at least one space. Tools, acquired by spending worker placement cubes, allow for further advancement of buildings during the round. With ever-increasing demands to move the buildings from round to round, the game scales in the amount of resources you need to score well, but in addition to moving over your community board, you start to acquire more workers, hence being able to take the same actions as described before with those additional workers if need be. So let's compare Hollertown to some other games. The first game that popped up for me, and this was found by looking at the section on Board Game Geek, where you look at a particular game and you go down to the Fans Also Like section, which usually offers some games that are similar in weight and mechanisms and rating. And Anno 1800 was one of those games that popped up that I agree with. And for Hollertau, Anno 1800 is such a game that, for me, finds a lot of similarities due to the fact that both games revolve around cards that contain little mini-objectives for you to fulfill with resources. Anno 1800 is more deterministic on these cards. I think the game revolves more around the cards, and in Hollertau it may enhance the gameplay, which is more focused on turning in resources to move your community building. But there is a constant feeling of progressing through the game, like it's a step-by-step, like a staircase. You fulfill a small objective, you take a couple of turns to fulfill that, whether it be the cards in Anno 1800 or in Hollertau, and you draw some more cards and move on to the next small little objective, moving from place to place until you finally accomplish something great by the end of the game. The second game that I want to compare to Hollertau mechanically is World Wonders. These two games aren't very similar in terms of complexity and theme, but in how each turn feels like with the worker placement in Hollertau and the spending of your money in World Wonders, I feel there are some similarities. How much money or workers you're willing to spend on something expensive, like a wonder in World Wonders, or to take a worker placement spot in Hollertau with two or three of your workers, is where a lot of the tough decisions come. Do you overspend and take actions that kind of progress your strategy to a point, or do you take something a little bit more efficient? World Wonders, you know, do you take an action, do you spend a lot of your money at first to take something big like a wonder or a really big building? Or do you start small and wait for other players to play out their actions in order to take bigger ones later? That's where a lot of the decisions come, and it's kind of like you have more flexibility in what you can do and how much you can afford to spend from turn to turn, versus other games where you're just playing one worker out and taking an action and so on. And then finally, the first of the two Rosenberg games that I want to talk about is Agricola. My first Rosenberg pick has to be Agricola for many reasons. The theme, of course, the worker placement mechanisms as well. The farming mechanisms, for that matter, are very similar, and yet different at the same time, right? Like, the way that you handle animals in both games are different. The way that you handle crops are a little bit more similar. But in both games, you have card play that enhances the gameplay. Agricola's card play is more determined at the beginning of the game, usually with a draft, where you contain cards in your hand that you can play throughout the game if you choose to do so. And in Hollertau, it's more tactical and progressive during the game, where these cards are drawn throughout the game, and you can play them at any time. The huge amount of decks of different cards that are provided in each game create the sense of endless variability that has always drawn me into these games and helps me want to play these games repetitively. In that sense, Neusfjord and Oranienburger Canal also fit the bill, with having lots of different cards that you play through and that you don't see the entire, you know, deck or couple of decks that you play with. But I think Agricola, theme-wise as well as with the card play, kind of reminds me most of Hollertau. And then the other game that does have some card play as well is At the Gates of Luoyang. This is a game that other people have made connections to as well, also in terms of crop management, building up a sort of engine to plant your crops, have them produce more crops for you during the game, and turning those in for customers and whatnot. And so that is reminiscent in Hollertau, where that kind of crop multiplication mechanism that you see in a lot of his games is really the focus here in Hollertau as well, as a lot of the craft buildings require you to plant crops to advance their places. It's a little bit less interactive than At the Gates of Luoyang. A lot of those cards allow you to interact with the boards and tableaus of other players. Hollertau is very much more multiplayer solitaire, but the amount of cards that offer some variety of what you can do and helps the things that help you to do a little bit of resource conversion are there as well, and that is a similarity that I agree with. So let's go to the peer review. So let's talk about what people, particularly on BoardGameGeek, had said about Hollertau that is praiseworthy. So people who love Rosenberg games really enjoy this game for the theme, the mechanisms, and the variations with card play that this game offers, very similar to other games as well. the thematic integration of concepts such as the field system and the sheep getting old and having to progress them from round to round make the game intuitive to learn, because those thematic tie-ins make it easier to intuit the rules, which helps it become more not only easy to learn, but also to relearn and come back to if you haven't played it in a while. The pacing is really well done for a heavy Euro-style game, and the worker placement is tight and interactive, with lots of opportunities for blocking, or at least making it more expensive for someone else to take a certain spot. The combo potential for playing cards at any time is really fun as well, and people like that experience as well as the solo experience. Some concerns are there, and starting with the cards, the large variety of cards comes with the luck of the draw aspect of not having the right cards in front of you each game, and that can be hard when someone else is having virtually better luck than you, and watching them play card after card, you know, on top of their tableau, while your strategies kind of don't come together when it comes to the cards, and so it's hard to live through sometimes. In addition to some, the strategy of the game, regardless of the cards, can feel kind of rote, with the main goal of moving over your community center by spending the same amount of goods each round feel scripted. There are minor complaints about the storage of your goods in your supply, more of a component complaint, where the tracker for your goods is kind of a vertical 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 type of arrangement, and those, especially later on in the game, and especially if you're doing well in the game, can become really compacted because there are so many different resources in this game, and if you have multiple of the same resources, then that area can kind of feel tight, and it's hard to keep everything together. So for me, my review after 10 plays, and for me, the majority of my plays have been solo, with a few multiplayer games here and there. If I could describe this game in one way, I would say that this game feels cozy, or familiar, like greeting an old friend after I pull it out of the box. I agree that the rules are intuitive, and the math puzzle is pretty much the same from round to round, especially with solo play. Sometimes you can flip over your round, you know exactly how many goods you need to provide in each round, and so you can calculate exactly how many resources you need to move each building once or twice or even more. And so the fact of the matter comes to, you're coming back to the same strategy, you're trying to beat your own score if you're playing solo, and sometimes the decisions are laid out in front of you, and you know exactly what you're going to do at the beginning of the turn. You can take turn after turn in the solo mode pretty easily, with a little bit of variety that is offered with the cards that may offer a slightly alternative way to getting to that same goal that you have from round to round. And after a few plays, I felt like I was returning to the same puzzle each time, and personally, my scores weren't getting any better. They, you know, were growing after a couple of plays, and they plateaued at a certain level. And I know a lot of people were tracking different scores that people were getting using different combinations of decks. And I think, you know, obviously I'm not an expert at this game by any means. I think there are people who are smarter than me out there collecting better scores. It's been a while since I've seen those compilations of scores that are listed in BoardGameGeek, but I assume that they are higher than the scores that I've been getting. And a lot of that is dependent on the cards that you draw, which is, once again, down to luck of the draw. And despite, also in addition to that, despite me having similar scores, I found I was having similar scores, and it wasn't with the same decks, same combinations of decks. It was with different combinations, whether they were labeled, and I believe it's the farmyard cards as like beginner, then expert, master, advanced. Like, I do see that some of the wording and requirements are a little bit more complex the farther you go up in complexity with those decks. However, my scores didn't seem to vary differently. It didn't feel like it was harder for me to get a good score with those cards that were more complex. And I believe some of that it has to do with the core gameplay that this game provides you with moving that community center and turning in the same amount of goods each round from round to round. And so that core gameplay is not changed at all. It's just that the cards are a little bit different and perhaps give you a more efficient boost at some times and less so during other times. Now, despite me saying that it does feel a little bit rote from game to game, don't get me wrong, because I really enjoy the concept and the flow of this game. Once again, I like returning to a cozy experience, which I feel like this game embodies a cozy experience, where I know what to expect when I revisit this game. I can kind of sit there and plan out each round having a little bit of a, you know, farming music background, you know, a cup of hot chocolate or something like that. That's the kind of setting that always comes to mind and that I find myself in when playing this game. And it really doesn't need the same variety and tight gameplay that's sometimes punishing as Agricola has. I think Agricola is fun in a different way, where it is very competitive and, you know, you can lose after, you know, the first couple of turns in the game and it's hard to catch up on. Whereas in Hallertau, your luck may vary. Sometimes it may start bad and become good. But you always have that core gameplay to draw back on to progress. And I think everyone can, if they're familiar enough with the rules and everything, can perform well enough. And that seems to be pretty steady and constant from game to game. The cards in Agricola as well seem to bend the rules a little bit more drastically than in Hallertau, where it kind of is simplified to more, hey, if you have enough of these resources, either if you've reached these amount of resources or if you turn in this amount of resources, you get a benefit and perhaps a card draw. And so yeah, they're a little bit more simplistic, I think, or at least more straightforward than cards in Agricola. Even in Nusrid, I think the cards are a little bit more straightforward. I feel like it's a little bit more on line, in par with at the Gates of Luoyang. Yeah. On that note as well, I do have the promo deck. A couple years ago, I think it was 2021 or 22, a promo deck was released, and I bought it through Lookout, so it may still be on the Lookout Games website. And so I played around with those cards. I believe it's a Farmyard card, or a Farmyard deck, and the cards didn't feel very difficult, actually. It kind of reminded me of a good intro version of the Farmyard deck to try with players who are new to the game, where there weren't any conversions or turning in of goods and resources. It was basically, if you meet these resources, gain a bonus. And so, on that side note, I think the promo deck is a great way to maybe add a little bit of variety to your game, but I think it was really good to have as a intro type of deck for newer players. The multiplayer experience is good and bad for me. I do feel the rush and the joy of playing cards one after the other, creating combos, and the sadness as well as I look on my competitors doing the same on their turn when the cards don't line up for me. And so, yes, I do agree that this game is very much luck-driven when it comes to the cards, but I don't mind that because the variability between the decks isn't as robust as I thought it would be, and even if someone is having really good luck, I can still fall back on what I know to be a good core strategy, which is just moving up those buildings. Because I think the majority of the scoring that you have in this game is dependent on how far you get that community center to the right. And so in sum, I think what this game is trying to do for me and why I enjoy this game despite the repetitiveness of strategies, the luck-based card play as well, is that I am drawn in by its cozy and familiar themes and mechanisms over and over again. It wouldn't be a game, and I don't think that the point of this game is to be really competitive at it, like Agricola, but I think it captures the feeling of working the farm the best that you can, and coming back to a very familiar puzzle just to be in that space, which is very much akin to lifestyle farming games like Harvest Moon and Stardew Valley, which I really enjoyed playing growing up, and I've mentioned that before on the podcast many times. I really enjoy that feeling, and returning to this game over and over again has really satisfied that need sometimes to just play a game to have fun and to just solve a puzzle and kind of sit there in your own cozy tableau and farm without having to be too involved in the competitiveness and mechanisms that are and tightness that are seen in other games. And so I still enjoy having this game in my collection, and I still rate it highly. And I know that I can always return to this game and have a great time with it. So those are my thoughts and review of Hallertau after 10 plays. Thank you for consulting with me today, and hope that you schedule an appointment with me real soon. Take care.